Well, good morning, everyone. So glad that you're here. I want to say hi to everybody who's joining us online as well. And again, another reminder for that Connect card. It really helps us stay connected, and that's important. We are talking about the Proverbs on relationships, God's wisdom for relationships. And honestly, one of the ways that we do that in our church is staying connected. Like, how are you? Where are you? Just kind of do that. So please connect. Please do that. It's important. Hang out after service. Talk, eat, linger, all that stuff. Very, very important. I want to start off because we're talking today about friendship. I want to start off with this tweet that I saw. I thought it was pretty funny. Nobody talks about Jesus' miracle of having 12 close friends in his 30s. I mean, that's something we don't think about of, yeah, that's kind of a miracle. And this is going to get kind of a downer real quick, but check this out. 58% of adults say that not a single person in their life knows them well. 52% report being extremely lonely, and 57% say that they eat every single one of their meals alone. So this is a big thing. And I think if we look back on like COVID and the pandemic, for a lot of people, two things happened. One is they got more lonely. And then as they re-engaged, they had lost some of their skills, the relationship skills. You may think, well, you just have friends or not. No, it actually takes relationship skills. And we're going to talk a little bit about that from the Proverbs because practical wisdom. We're going to cover that today. And then the other thing that happened in COVID is that a lot of people doubled down on work, which left no room for friendships. So there wasn't any margin. Or another one that we did is we filled up our friendship space with technology, right? And it's technology can give you some connection, but real presence with someone where you're seeing their face, just a different thing. So today, here's kind of my big ask, because we're going to be looking at how to grow friendships, why are friendships important, how to deal with conflict in friendships. We're going to be looking at all that stuff. But here's my real ask is, my hope is that you can really be open to saying, God, maybe there's some ways I can take a step today, either to grow my friendships deeper, to start new friendships, to widen my friendship circle. Just kind of be open for that. The thing I want you to guard against is that sense of like, why is no one doing this for me? You know what I mean? Because you might be hurting and just kind of going, God, how can I take a step today? Or if you finish the message going, I have three people I want to send this to, that's probably a bad sign, right? Because this message is for you to kind of go, hey, I need to take that step today. So are we all cool with that? And God's been convicting me on that this week. My first reaction is like, yeah, I'm good. I need to tell other people about this. And God's been like, no, you need to work on this too. And it's been like, okay. So you see what I'm saying? Let's just come in with that openness and that humility. And I think we'll get a lot out of God's word today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for this church, Lord. We are a family. And help us, Lord, to understand that what we do in church, we can take deeper steps and actually grow lifelong friendships here. And not just in church, God, but also in other areas of our lives. Lord, be with us. We love you. We praise in your name. Amen. All right, I'm going to start. If you got a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. These are commentaries. These are not cheat books for the game, as I was told before. So if you want to look at these and see the commentaries that I'm going through, don't take them. I need them. We just started the series. So, but if you want to look at the ones that I've gone through, this one's by Tremper Longman. This one's by Kenneth Aitken. So you can check. Don't check them out. You can look at them afterwards. They'll be on the table. They'll be sitting over there. Proverbs, probably the biggest thing it says over and over again is you need to be wise in your friendships because your friendships form you. Your friendships form you. The people in your life have influence on you. You have influence on them as well. Here's what it says in Proverbs 13:20. Become wise by walking with the wise, but you hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. 1 Corinthians, this isn't in Proverbs, but 1 Corinthians says this, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't be deceived. I feel like I had to add that in because when I talk about this over and over and over and over again, people always say, my friendships don't really influence me. That's the thing I hear so often. I heard it all the time when I was a youth pastor, and I thought, I can't wait till I start working with adults because they know better. I didn't finish that thought. You finished it for me. I just wanted to make sure you know that. In Proverbs, kind of a quick outline of Proverbs, Proverbs 10 through 31 are kind of a random collection of Proverbs. They don't always fit together thematically. As you get later on, there are some groupings like the wife of noble character or the sayings of King Lemuel or the kind of the sayings of the wise. Sometimes they'll be grouped together by theme. But in general, they're kind of scattered. But the first 9 chapters are written differently. It's kind of like a father speaking to his son or his children, and the mother is there as well. And it's really kind of a longer speeches about wisdom, about live this way. We're going to read one of the most important things that a parent says to their children. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide. Let's kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of all the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff. Come, throw your lot in with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go with them. Stay far away from their paths. Now, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom and foolishness are not about intelligence. You got to understand this, because in our day, you have, since a young child, you have been evaluated on how intelligent you are. Did you get the test right? And you think, well, you're better if you have more intelligence. In the Bible, it's not that way. It's wisdom and foolishness are about the choices you make and the character that you have. You can be the smartest person in the world heading down the path of destruction. It's about your character, and it's saying, hang out with the wise, be around the wise. You tend to become like the people you're spending most of your time with. There's even a phrase at a church up in Sacramento. It says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Right? And that also goes with your lack of friendships. If you're just hanging out alone, if you're just spending time alone or just in technology, that's also going to shape you. It's also going to influence you in a big way. There are some people in the book of Proverbs that they say really pay attention to. And I want you, we're going to go through this quick, but I want you to kind of think about this list. Stay away from the fool. Well, duh. Stay away from the mocker. Stay away from the hothead. Stay away from the arrogant, from the liar, from the seducer, from the flatterer. I left that last one last because I think in our day, we want people around us who just flatter us. The Bible says those people are actually dangerous. They can hurt you because you don't see the truth. Okay? So I want you to think about this for a second, just right off the bat. Is wisdom a factor in your friendships? Okay? When you're saying, how much time do I want to spend with this friend? How deep do I want to let them in my life? Are you saying, is this person wise? Do they make good choices biblically, practically, how they do their life? Do you pay attention to that? You say, that person's wise. I want to get more of them in my life. If they have time, they may not have time, but is that a factor? I think in our day, not only is flattery a big thing, I think sometimes we put a way too much stock in chemistry. Chemistry is important, but it's kind of like, I like being around you, even if you're not good for me, right? That's the thing, very thing we warn our kids about. Just because you like being around them, they may not be the best person for you. Does that make sense? Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. In 2017, I did a research project on church planting to discover what was working and not working. Many of you have heard this before. The primary finding, there was a lot of findings, but the primary finding was that the relational support that church planters got was a major determining factor to whether the church plant would make it or not. It might seem a weird thing. It might be all about skills or how good you are, how good of a preacher. How much support the pastor was getting was a major determining factor to whether the church plant would make it or not. I turned that into my doctoral dissertation. That got turned into a book that I wrote for really pastors and church planters. It's coming out this year. I've preached on it with business leaders, with nonprofit leaders. I didn't preach it to business leaders, of course. We did presentations to business leaders and nonprofit leaders, done a seminar, preached it to just people in general. There's 5 types of relationships that we need. And so we're going to go through these kind of one by one, use the Proverbs to talk about them. And as we go through, just kind of think about who's that person in your life? And it's okay, be honest if you go, I don't have that person in my life. So don't shame yourself. Just go, hey, maybe that's someone that I'm going to try to keep my eyes open for. Okay. Number one, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. We call this soul sharpeners. Soul sharpeners. These people hear your highs and lows, and they always point you back to God. You're going through, man, life is really tough. Life is really tough. They don't try to fix your problem. They just go, where's God in that? How's your soul? Right? If you're kind of doing something you shouldn't be doing, they go, come on, man. What's going on? You can do better than that. They just keep pointing you back to God. They give you accountability. They're soul sharpeners. These are the people, again, you bring an issue and they go, can we just pray about that right now? They're just always pointing you back to God. They kind of give you a sense of peace, at least for me. Number two is vision casters. Vision casters. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. These people, I've actually found for most of us, these are the hardest people to find. These are kind of inspiration people. These are the people who keep going, what can this become? You bring them a problem, they go, oh my gosh, there's an opportunity there. What could this become? These are the why not people. You know how you might have a lot of why people? Like, hey, I'm doing this, like, why? Right? They're kind of like the why not. Like, why not? Why not go do that? Why not have that? They're kind of the big picture, big dreamers. You bring them a dream, they make that dream even bigger. And that can sometimes be stressful because you're just like, well, I just want to do this little dream. They're like, I know, but imagine if it was this. And that can be a little stressful, but you get these people and you're just going to keep dreaming bigger. And we need these people because sometimes we get later in life and go, why didn't I dream bigger? Why didn't I risk bigger? Right? So we get these dream big vision caster people in life. The third one is encouraging tail kickers. Proverbs 27:6. Don't miss this one. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but an enemy multiplies kisses. An enemy multiplies kisses. Some of us would call that our friend. All they ever do is tell me how great I am, how wonderful I am, how good looking I am. I know they're lying, right? These people, these encouraging tail kickers, they're willing to tell the truth in love because they believe in you. It's not that they're shaming you. It's not that they're down on you. They're like, you're better than this. You can do this. I sometimes call these your 2x4 friends. Okay. The people who love you enough to smack you in the face with the 2x4. And you just go, yeah, thank you. I needed that, right? Just that is metaphorical, friends. That's not literal. If that happened literally, that's called assault. But like that sense of like, man, I need someone who's willing to tell me the truth. I need someone who's willing to like, yes, give it to me because you believe in me. You don't think I'm a weak, helpless person. You think I'm capable. I don't even think that sometimes. And you get these people in your life and it's just so helpful. Here's what it says in Proverbs 9:8. Don't even bother correcting mockers. They'll only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you. How do you know if the person's wise or not? When you correct them, they thank you. You don't know until you've done it. This is just a powerful thing. And what I found works best is when you actually seek these people out in your life. When you tell them, I need you to give me accountability. Unwanted accountability doesn't really work. Okay, so that's that one. The fourth one. Is heart healers. This is kind of that interpersonal thing. These are people who listen to you. They have fun with you. They hurt with you. What most of us would classically consider a friend. Proverbs 18:24. The person with many friends might be harmed, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay. Sometimes the heart healing comes from having fun together. You come in, you're like, dude, I'm just really struggling right now. And they're like, get over it. Let's play some video games. All right. Or let's go shoot some hoops. Let's go hang out, right? It could be spent like that. Sometimes they sit there and go, let's listen, let's talk, let's weep, let's be in each other's kind of space and just talk through that. Depends on what you need at the time. And these are the people who really, when you're around them, you just kind of feel like your heart lifts. They share the burden. We need this person in our life. I think most of us kind of need that. Most of us kind of know that. And then the fifth one, the last one is strategic thinkers. These are people who give practical advice. Like, here it is. This is what you need to do. This is how it works. You know, when you went to person and you were thinking, I needed you just to listen to me and pray for me and empathize with me. And all they could do was solve your problem. That's this person, right? you need someone like this in your life. Don't shoot that down. You need to go let people be who they are in your life, but you need a couple people like this who, when you bring them your thing, they can go, oh man, that's really tough. Here's what you're going to do. You need some of that. Here's what it says. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Okay. I think in life, in marriage, in singleness, in business, in anything, sometimes we have too many people who just empathize with us and no one who can go, let me tell you the best way forward. Let me give you some really good advice. It's going to take care of a lot of your sadness if you start doing things the right way. It can really help you to kind of grow in that. Now look at this list. Okay. Who you got? Are you really emphasizing spending time with them? Are you really trying to have that time pouring out with them? Who's missing in your life from that list? Okay, this is what I've been doing the last couple of years, what I'm planning on doing for the next few years, is just talking through this list with people. And I can't make you go get more support. But what I can tell you as a pastor is I hear the wreckage every single week of the people who don't have these people in their lives. Right? And often people are expecting their pastor to be whatever is missing in their life. I'm really gifted at just one or two of these. Okay. And so you got to find a way to really build up that support network in your life. Here's how to do it. We're going to talk about how in just in a minute, but here's how to do it. You just got to lead with questions. You got to lead with questions. You got to come in saying like, hey, I need help with this. You go in and say to someone, I need help, and you got some good questions. You're not wasting their time. Now, for the fourth category, it's probably not going to be questions. It's just going to be hanging out, doing stuff together, right? But for everybody else, you come in with questions like, can you help me with this? It's questions maybe with coffee or maybe with, you know, a lunch or maybe with some, if you come in going, I need your help with this, people are going to feel like you're not wasting their time. You go, hey, I'm struggling with God in this area. Can you help me? I got a couple of questions. Someone's go, oh yeah, let's meet. Right? This is how to start that conversation with people. So you can pick the one that you're feeling like you're missing. Maybe it's a tail kicker. You go, hey, I got some problems I'm dealing with. I need someone just to give it to me straight and kick me in the teeth if I need it. Can you do that? And if they go, no, then don't meet with them. And if they go, yeah, oh heck yeah, I've been waiting to do that for a long time. Let's go do coffee. I got lots, right? And you just go, okay, I found my person. You're ready to go. You see what I'm saying? And the number one thing here, this is why I said at the beginning, the number one thing that holds people back is, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I've learned to do things alone. I don't need help. Okay. I believe the lie that I'm supposed to be able to figure this out on my own, do it on my own, have it figured out on my own. My friends, that's actually not in the Bible. Jesus had 12 close friends. Paul was never alone. And even in America, which is kind of a very rugged, individualistic country, you go back a generation, there's not a single person in the previous generation who said, I should do it alone. You know what they said? Even for men, you need a band of brothers to make it through life. Something's happened in our recent generation where we believe the lie that we should be able to do it on our own, and asking for more people in our life is a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom, right? And your life will show the results, okay? So let's talk about how. Let's talk about how. There's a really well-known motivational speaker. He went to a conference and he asked the question, women, how many of you, you don't have to answer this question, but he said, women, how many of you have someone in your life that you talk to at least once a week, just talk through life, every single hand pretty much goes up in the room. And he says, well, how many of you talk to that person or any of those people daily? A lot of the hands, some hands went down, a lot of the hands stayed up, all the hands go down. He says, men, how many of you have someone you talk through about the stuff of life once a month? Almost nobody in the room had their hand go up. A group of guys in the middle of the room raised their hand. And he says, let's talk about you guys. What are you doing? They said, well, we're in a church group. We're here all the time. And we're actually at this, we're in a life group. So we do life together. We do things outside of our life group. And we're actually at this conference together because we decided to go. I think men and women both struggle with loneliness if you look at the statistics. But I think men especially struggle with, how do I develop life outside of work? That's what we're going to talk about right now. I'm an analytical person. I'm going to give you some thoughts here, okay? Number one, how do you do this? Number one is you got to actually share experiences and have fun. Okay, I want to just slow this down. Fun is where you're doing something enjoyable that's not necessarily productive. Okay? Okay, I just want to slow that down in case, did you see what we've been doing for the last decade and then what got worse in COVID? We think if it's not productive, it's not valuable. That's not who you are. That's not, you're God's child. You can have fun. You can just enjoy life, right? And don't miss this. You actually have to grow the skill to enjoy having fun, right? Because you can forget how to have fun. Anyone ever met anyone like that? Okay? They don't know how to have fun anymore. The thing with friendship, to grow friendship, is you got to actually develop hobbies that you're genuinely interested in. Because the first level of friendship is not two people looking at each other. It's two people looking at something else and going, I really like that. It's shoulder to shoulder, not face to face. And when you're shoulder to shoulder, you're like, man, this is so great. I love this thing. And you like that too? That's awesome. And that could be anything. That could be gardening or golfing or walking or video game, whatever. But you grow that and you actually grow closer to somebody else because you're sharing experiences and you actually enjoy something else together. Because for a lot of us, it's too intense just to walk and go like, give me your whole life. Right? You're just kind of like, let's go do something together. This means you, if you want to grow more friendships, you have to carve time for some hobbies. This is why I talk to so many men who just go, I don't have any time. And the first thing I ask them is, talk to me about your work. Talk to me about your free time. What are you doing? Are you getting out there at all? Okay, let's go to number two. You got to share a little bit of your heart. You got to be able to talk. I've known people who do a lot of experiences together. And I go, you feel close to them? They go, no, we're just doing stuff. That's step one. Step two is you got to actually share your heart. You got to talk a little bit. This is different for every single person, how much you need to do. Okay. And the number one reason we don't share a heart is because we have been burned. Right? So you're burned and then you go, I'll never do that again. And then you go, now I'm super lonely. And what am I supposed to do? Right? You got to share appropriately. I'm a pastor. I run into strangers and I tell them I'm a pastor. It's like, here comes the life story. I mean, we're in public and I'm like, this is like, I'm embarrassed for you. Like, well, you're telling me a lot right here. Okay. But that's okay because I'm your pastor, or I'm a pastor. I'm not their pastor even, but I'm your pastor. You can share a lot, right? But if you start doing that with people, they're going to go, whoa. You got to share. You don't overshare and you don't undershare. If you undershare, what you're signaling to the other person is, I don't trust you. When you share the appropriate amount, maybe just a little bit more, you kind of go, I trust you with this information. You don't want to give it all. You don't want to share too much. I want to share appropriately and go, hey, we've been doing some things together. Can I share a little bit more? And then the hope is that they reciprocate that and they share a little bit more back. So you can't dominate the conversation. You need to be there for people when they're hurting. Loyalty, faithfulness, care, kindness. These are just marks of friendship. Does that make sense? I think that one you guys know, so I'm not hitting on that one super hard. But you got to share appropriate levels of your heart. That's how you grow deeper relationships. And the third thing you got to do, and this one isn't required, but I think it really takes friendship to a whole nother level, is to share your faith. If you share faith, if two people love Jesus together, there's going to be a bond there that's deeper because you're going to share, hey, I'm struggling with this, and they're going to give you a perspective of faith rather than just their own perspective. You may not know this, but when people give you advice, they give you advice from their own value system, not yours. Right? It doesn't mean you can't have non-Christian friends. But when you're talking to them about stuff, they're going to be sharing with you out of their value system. Now, no matter what happens, at some point, you're going to go through conflict. I want you to imagine real quick that a really, really good friend, your best friend, called you Satan. Seriously. Like, not joking. Not like, you know, Satan. But they actually called you Satan. That's what happened to Peter. Jesus called him Satan. They had a fight. They had more than one fight, right? They had a fight. And because Jesus was telling them that I have to go suffer for the sake of the world. And Peter, because he loved his friends, like, that will never happen. But Peter was more concerned about his hurt than God's plan. And so Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, because he was tempting Jesus as if he was Satan. And Peter had to learn that to follow Jesus means suffering. And he did learn that. Later on, Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter had learned the lesson, like, I'm willing to die for you. So he's like, Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. And again, I talked about this before. It's really hard having a friend who's always right. Right? That's Jesus only. That's not you. Just so you all know that, okay? And Jesus says, you're going to deny me. And then Peter did deny him. And in John chapter 21, one of the hardest chapters in the Bible, they sit down to reconcile this fight. And I just want you to lock that in, because all good friendships have to cross the bridge of conflict. Every good, deep relationship has to go through conflict. A lot of us go, as soon as there's a fight, I'm done forever. Conflict is the pathway to depth in relationships. It's not the enemy. It's a revelation of what's going on in you, what's going on in the other person. You don't have to be afraid of it. You have to be ready for it. You have to train for it. You have to be prepared for it. You have to get a little thicker skin for it and say, if I'm going to have a deep relationship with you, at some point we're going to disagree. We're going to fight, and we got to know how to talk about it. Problem is, none of us know how. Okay? In our church, we do this thing, we train our members and we train our leaders on this thing called a relational covenant, which is, how do you deal with problems in the church? Not if they come, when they come. First thing, you probably already figured this one out, is pray. Pray. It's like a stoplight. Red light, stop. Proverbs 29 says this: an angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. Proverbs 23 says this: avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. When you pray, you slow down before you go talk to anybody else, before you say, I need you to take my side, before you start doing the gossip thing. You just pray. Before you talk to even your spouse, if you're married, your best friends, anything, you just pray. You're just going to pray, and you just go, God, do I need to drop this? Do I need to bring it up? Is there an area where I'm at fault? It gets you some clarity. It gets you some perspective. It's just really important. Okay. The second thing is, you're going to be direct. You're going to be direct. You're not going to gossip about it. You're not going to do the passive aggressive thing. Do y'all know what I mean by that thing? Right? Someone did something to you and you're like, I'm not going to bring it up. But when they come and say hi, you're like, hi. And then you go walk over and you want them to chase after you because you don't, I'm going to be a little mean here, you don't have the backbone to say, I need to talk to you. So you need them to come to you and go, oh, it seems like you're upset. How can I help you? My friends, that's what we do with our children. You can have the strength in Christ to not be passive aggressive, to go, you've prayed, you've talked to God, and you go, I need to deal with this. Let's go deal with it. You're direct. You don't go, hey, I have a problem. I'm going to tell you that I have a problem with this person. And so you're going to go tell this person. So this person has to go back and tell you or tell me. That's called triangulation. We don't want to do that. We can be direct. Proverbs 17:14 says, starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. If the floodgate's been open, you want to close it as quickly as you can. Don't wait forever. How many times have you, have I, have people against us 3 years later go, you know what, I need to talk to you. Right? And then by the time you tell them what happened, they go, yeah, but that's not, because they've held on to that hurt for 3 years, which might be a lie. You might be holding on to hurts where you've never heard the other person's perspective on it. Right? That's just not fair. You wouldn't want anyone to do that to you. So you got to go and you got to be direct. You got to deal with it. Here's the thing. People are not the problem. The problem is the problem. Don't attack people. Talk about the problem. Talk more about the problem than your emotions about it. Now, here's the thing. You're going to say to me, Scott, well, what am I supposed to do with all my emotions? I have all these emotions of how I feel about what they did. Where am I supposed to put these gigantic emotions? That's step one. That's prayer. Have you ever found that you brought up a problem to someone and you unloaded all your emotions and they could not, they broke them? Because people cannot handle the weight of all your emotions, but God can. Give God the totality of your anger, your just the fullness of it. And then when you talk to someone, you can give a filtered down version of it to them and say, I was upset, but let's talk about the issue. You see the difference that could make? It's called de-escalating. You don't keep escalating through how you feel about it, even though your feelings are very important. Okay, so the second thing is to be direct. The third thing is to be constructive or to build up. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but a harsh word makes tempers flare. Anyone say amen to that? Okay. When you're in the conversation, don't unload. Focus on one thing at a time. You go, well, Scott, I have three things. Well, then you need three conversations. Focus on one thing at a time. Build people up. Don't tear them down. Assume the best intentions of the other person. How many of your fights with your friends or even in your close relationships have been about you assumed what they were thinking, feeling, or intending? Okay, we don't want to assume the worst. We want to assume the best. Focus on the actuals and go from there. Care for the other person. If they're saying something that's completely false, you do need to respond. But respond kind of firmly, quickly, and then move on. Be friendly. Just go like, no, that's not true. This is what happened. Keep talking. Right? You don't want misinformation to keep going because that separates friendships. Okay? And last little note here. This comes from years of counseling. Proverbs 20:1. It says this, wine produces mockers and alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. Stay off of substances. It's really hard to move forward when you're abusing substances. It really ruins relationships, and it's really hard to have that wisdom there. Okay, so some skills here. How to grow friendships, the type of friendships that you need, how to deal with conflict. Those are the things. So let's go to the next slide. I want you to just think back on those things. We're kind of wrapping up here. Think about your friendships. Think about how to grow friendships. What's that next step for you? If you don't know, when we talked about how to grow friendships, like do things together, share your heart, share your faith, a little behind the scenes here for you, that's exactly what we do in church every week. We have experiences together. We share our heart on teams or in groups, and then we share faith. Now, doing things just at church probably isn't going to be enough to get you that deep friendship. You got to then take another step and say, let's go hang out. Let's go get a meal. Let's go get coffee together. Let's actually go do something together. But church is doing this every week. Okay. And so what I say to my brothers and sisters, but especially men, is you need to carve enough time to be involved in your family of faith. It's basically a built-in way to grow friendships. Okay. But for so often, men, I think especially, treat friendship like it's fire insurance. My life fell apart. I want a deep friend right now. Okay? And I say back to them, it's not insurance. Or if it is insurance, you need to pay your premiums every month. Right? You need to keep building it or it's not going to be there. Right? Did I do okay on that? No, I says no. Apparently I messed that analogy up. So I'll get corrected. I'll get it right for second service. Okay. Let me tell you this story. I'll wrap up with this story. Sam was a teenager and found out that he had cancer. And it was treatable though. And so he went in for radiation, went in for chemo, lost all his hair. He's in the hospital for many, many weeks, pulled him out of school. And it was time for him to come home. And he was just super nervous. Comes home, first day of school is coming up for him to go back to school, and he's just super nervous. Mom, everyone's going to laugh at me. I'm super embarrassed. I don't know what to do. And his mom said, well, do you want me to think about a hairpiece? He's like, Mom, that's so much worse. And so they're driving to school, and his mom can tell he's just super tense. And as they pull into school, Sam looks up and there's 70 people there at the drop-off zone, and every single guy has his head shaved. I want to say something to all of you here, because if the stats are true, it's true in this room too. You're not alone. You may feel lonely, but the people here and the people in your life deeply care about you. It will take time. And that's my encouragement to you, is take the time. Some people don't have time, and be okay with that. Take the time to get involved. Take the time to get connected. God wants you to have great friendships. He loves you, and you're worth it. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for friendship, God. You didn't make us to be alone, and you yourself, Jesus, came as our friend. God, help us right now to also think about you as our friend, Jesus. You're a friend to all people. You're a friend to sinners. You're a friend to us. Lord, help us to grow in our friendship with you and our friendship with others. Lord, we love you and we pray this in your name. Amen.